You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and each week at the Football Radio Show, we give you our expert insight, analysis, and opinions of the top trending stories in the NFL. Are you ready, Casey?
Why, yes, I am.
Oh, very nice. In today's episode, we'll talk our fantasy go-back starts of the week, survival picks, the FRS power rankings, and a couple of the tastiest games coming up in Week 12. Some serious feasting coming our way, Casey. But first, let's get things started with a tasty nug for the peoples.
Yeah, let's feast on a tasty nug, dude. This football season is bonkers, man. There's never been anything like this. Each week, we're living and dying. Dude, we're averaging over 11 games a week that are within one score in the fourth quarter. It's crazy competitive, so tight, and those crazy cardiac cats. That's right, baby. The Detroit Lions are the first team in NFL history to have each of its first 10 games decided by 7 points or fewer. All the games are close. Wow, what a season, bro.
No doubt. And the Lions coming up on the positive end on a bunch of those, feeling pretty good about themselves heading into this week's action. Casey, speaking about feeling pretty good about yourself, we'll do the fantasy go-back start of the week. Let me set the stage for the people, Casey. It was my lightning strikes against your foul boys. And let me tell you, you know, the ball bounces in funny ways. It's a game of inches. I mean, this thing was neck and neck. You somehow snuck out a victory here, but I guess you might still have a go back. Give us your go back, Casey.
Yeah, dude, I won by .2. Oh wait, I'm sorry, 50.2.
Sorry, close game, Casey. It was neck and neck till the right there at the end. Okay.
Yeah, dude. You know what? My bench is actually 0 points. I had Melvin Gordon on a bye, Kristen Michael. He wasn't activated. Jeremy Maclin was out with injury, and J.J. Nelson got me a fat zero from the bench. So, Dave, I have to say I did pretty well, even with my Caleb Sturgis only getting 1 point in the kicking game.
Okay. Yeah, well, Casey, I will throw one out there just to save face a little bit, but my team was largely on bye or inactive as well as my disclaimer. But I did have Jameis Winston on the bench instead of Big Ben. It would have netted me a little bit less embarrassing of a loss. I would have lost by just over 39 instead of 50. Anyways, not we're going bad. On to the next segment, Casey, the survival pool. How'd you do this week in the survival pool, Casey?
Yeah, I didn't get it wrong. I'm telling you that. I haven't missed one in like 4 weeks, dude.
Well, I'm using your strategy, Casey. That is, check the schedule, see who the Browns are playing, pick opposing team. Last week, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers. They came away with a big win, 24-9. That plan seems to be working just fine. I'm going to keep moving forward with that in effect. As long as I can keep doing that, I'm going to milk that cow until it goes dry, baby.
Yeah, you'll get to use it. Actually, the Giants were the most popular correct pick last week. Hey, guess what? They're playing the Browns this week. And I know you're going to like this, baby. The Kansas City Chiefs were the most popular incorrect
pick. Sorry, Chief fan. Sorry about that. All right,
Dave. You stoked the people out. Last week was mine. This week is yours. It's Dave's power rankings. Man, vulgar display of power right here, Dave.
That's right, man. And it was tough this week, dude, because there's a lot of teams that are sort of pushing right up there in the top eight or nine. But I'll start this thing with number five. I got the Kansas City Chiefs. They are 7-3, a very balanced football team.
Did they lose at home?
They did.
Box?
They did, which is why they almost trickled out of my top five, and I would have likely pushed them back, but the teams that are right beneath them, I mean, I could have given it to the surging Giants. They've been playing some good football, and they are also 7-3.
Don't get crazy, Dave.
Exactly. So I don't know if I'm buying into that story. I like what Washington's doing, but they're just 6-3-1. Atlanta coming off that bye, they're still sitting on the outside looking in. And Denver, not as impressive on the offensive side, but still 7-3. Moving ahead, Casey, though, into the real elite area, it is the Raiders, dude. I can't say enough about this Raiders team. 8-2 right now, undefeated on the road and in Mexico City. Okay, this team is cranking it out, and they are fun to watch too. Unless, of course, you don't like the Raiders, which I don't know.
You know what, dude? It's Raider fan that makes you not like the Raiders, man. I've been looking at everything out there, and now Raider fan is talking so much smack about other people's teams. Like, oh, yeah, that's why we don't like it when the Raiders win. It's Raider fan.
It's been a long time, Casey. So
enjoy it, Raider. Just celebrate your Raider-ness. You don't have to talk S on other teams.
Okay. Moving forward, I think these next three are pretty similarly interchangeable for me, but we'll go with the Patriots at number three. They are 8-2. They just came up short, obviously, against my number two team, the Seahawks, who are 7-2-1, and I'm kind of heavy on the record, so this is a little bit of a role reversal, but I love what the Seahawks are doing right now, sort of peaking. That doesn't discredit what the Patriots have done all season, though. And then on top, Casey, can't say enough about this team, your Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
Woo! Man, it's going to be hopefully we get to stay in this number one seed for a while, baby, but got to be completely stoked about how the Cowboys are playing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And in that top five, you got the Raiders and your Cowboys that are sort of new to the, you know, this playoff thing of the recent years, yeah, amongst the teams like the Patriots and the Seahawks who have got a lot of playoff experience. So it'll be interesting as we move towards the playoffs how those levels of experience end up translating to wins and losses when it really counts in the postseason.
All right, Dave, let's get to some real wins and losses, baby. It is week 12 already. I can't believe it. But we're finally past all the byes. Every team has played 10 games, and the race to the playoffs is starting to heat up. But you know what, Dave? We got to pour a little out for Cleveland, as they are the first team to be eliminated from playoff contention.
Wow.
Sorry, bros, but you still have LeBron, so there's elsewhere to put your attention. Week 12 also bringing us Thanksgiving games, Dave. That's the feast, baby. And all six teams playing on Thanksgiving have a 500 or better record. It's only the second time in NFL history that that's happened, which the Thanksgiving schedule has three games, and every team is 500 or better.
Damn, dude, that sounds like a bonus dank nug for the people that you just busted out right there.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hashtag nugs. Hey, man, it's the holiday seasons. You got to be giving with the nugs, Dave. So I know I'm going to have plenty on Thanksgiving. Let's get this thing started. The feast early. We got the Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions, and the Lions are 2.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, man, this is a big, big game divisionally here. Both these teams are tied, and obviously Minnesota jumped out to that awesome start in the season, then tanked it for a while, but they righted the ship a little bit. Detroit's playing some good football, but at home on Thanksgiving, it's not always been the most they've been maybe a little too giving. But Minnesota coming off that big win versus Arizona. But they are losing that tiebreaker to Detroit currently. But Detroit coming off a win that they struggled a bit against Jacksonville there. But these are two of the three worst running teams in the league. Minnesota, the worst team, the team that had Adrian Peterson in the third overall pick in our fantasy draft. They're the worst running team in football. Detroit, third worst. So, but Minnesota's great, great defense, which really got them off to that great start. They got it going again last week. The interception touchdown, the kick return for the touchdown. Detroit just averaged defensively. Both these teams need to protect their quarterbacks, but both quarterbacks can get it done with a little time back there. Stafford's having a really nice season, but Bradford sneakily having a pretty decent season too, considering neither team can run the football.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, the loser of this game is going to fall to 1-3 in the division, and that's not good. So this is a very important game, but I already tell you, it's going to be a tight game, a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. Detroit's going to be down, and they're going to win.
Right. You could just sleep in, get in there, and get it on for the fourth quarter.
Just watch the last 2 minutes of this game. You're going to be fine.
All right. Up next, Casey, another divisional battle on Thanksgiving. It is the Washington Redskins coming and playing some awesome football at 6-3-1. They are going to Dallas to play your Cowboys, 9-1, playing the hottest team in the league. Cowboys at home, favored by 7. Talk about this football game.
Dude, this game is going to be brutal, man. This is a tough, tough matchup. These Washington Redskins are really starting to get it together, dude. And Fat Rob,
nice,
ripped up those Green Bay Packers on Sunday night. Almost 140 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was unstoppable against those cats. But Kirk Cousins, bro, this guy is really heating up. Over the last 4 games, completing over 70% of his passes. He's thrown for almost 1,400 yards in those 4 games. And he's got 8 TDs, man. And we saw it on Sunday night, dude. He was throwing dimes out there, baby, putting it on the spot. They're getting DeSean Jackson healthy. That offense is really coming around. But, Dave, we got offense too, baby. We are Zeke-ing it up down in Big D, baby. Yeah, he's leading the league in rushing with just over 1,100 yards. But we got another rookie. Everybody knows it. It's no surprise. Dak Prescott, dude. This guy's not driving the bus anymore, dude. He's winning ball games, man. Last couple weeks, over 300 yards, a few touchdowns, no interceptions, 127.2 passer rating, dude.
Dang.
He's the only rookie in NFL history that's passed for at least 300 yards and multiple touchdowns and no interceptions back-to-back game, dude. We're going to have another one of those games from from Dak on Thursday. But the Dallas defense, dude, giving up less than 19 points a game, less than 85 yards on the ground, dude. I think Fat Rob's going to have something to say about that. But
right.
Cowboys secondary, missing Mo Claiborne and Barry Church. So that is an area for concern, especially what I saw Kirk Cousins do on Sunday night. But the Cowboys have still been good at limiting the big play. They might give up some yards, but they shut it down once it gets close. Got to be able to stop Fat Rob or Kirk Cousins will light these dudes up with the play action. But Cowboys shall prevail, my friend.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. This game's going to be fun to watch because, like you said, the Skins can really put up points, and this Dallas offense can really, really run the football. That's the best defense that the Cowboys have, is getting that ground game really going and keeping their Cowboy defense on the sideline, getting extra rest so that when they do get out there, they're ready to take on that Skins offense, dude. It's going to be fun to watch, though.
Got the triple header, though, Dave. Got to save a little room for dessert, and I'm talking Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. And the Steelers have come out for some reason and are 9-point favorites in this game.
Woo! Yeah, I'll tell you what. Both teams, 2 games back in the wild card race in the AFC. So that's a faraway thing. But in their own divisions, not as bad of a situation. Pittsburgh and Baltimore are actually both 5-5 in a winner-take-all kind of a scenario in that division in all likelihood. And then Indy, just a game back of Houston, who looks unimpressive, certainly throwing the football, in another division in the AFC North that looks like it'll probably send just one team to the playoffs. So got to get in front in your division there. But last time these two teams played each other, it was just about a year ago, and the Steelers came out definitively on top with a 45-10 win. That was in Pittsburgh, though, but in that game, Ben went nuts there with over 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. Antonio Brown, 3 TDs in that game. But when you look at the two teams, the sort of like the triplets or whatever you want to look at it, Luck and Gore have actually got more yards than Big Ben and Bell passing and rushing respectively, which is kind of surprising. And then T.Y. just 20 yards back of Antonio Brown. So you kind of think of that as maybe all those players on the Steelers being, you know, significantly better, but that's really a pretty nice little matchup to see, on both sides of the football. But really the big question is with Andrew Luck in the concussion protocol, whether or not he goes. We know if this was Big Ben, he might have like one of his legs falling off, but he will probably go. This is a brain issue, though. We don't know if Luck is going to get cleared by the doctors to play in this football game. Tolzien would be the guy, if not, and that is a big difference.
Yeah, dude, no Andrew Luck at practice on Monday or Tuesday. I think they're probably leaning towards him not playing, especially on the short week, give him a little time to rest. But, man, they Colts don't have much room for error, for sure.
No question about that, dude.
All right, let's get this going to Sunday, baby. We're going to have nice full bellies. Ride it out for a couple days, watch some college, and then we get it back on Sunday. Dave, we got the Arizona Cardinals at the Atlanta Falcons, and the Falcons are 4-point favorites at home.
Yeah, dude, and David Johnson is one of the obviously young premier backs in this league, at least 100 scrimmage yards in each of the 10 Cardinals football games this year. Very, very consistent. The guy's a beast, running and receiving. And Arizona, though, dude, in this game, after dropping last week's game, they cannot afford another loss at 4-5-1, man. They are finding themselves out of the playoffs fast if they don't get this thing turned around. Atlanta, their division is super tight. All the teams in that division within 2 games of each other. Tampa Bay getting a big win last week. They're just 1 game back there. But Atlanta gets Tevin Coleman back. to practice going there with Devontae Freeman. That's a really nice running back tandem there. This is a nice matchup. Atlanta, the number one scoring offense. Arizona, the number one pass and overall yardage defense. So it's going to be a pretty strong matchup of strength versus strength right there. But, man, crucial game. Neither team can afford to drop this game, especially Arizona, dude. But this one's in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't really care who wins, but I do have Julio and Tevin Coleman running in this thing. I'm going up against Big Ben in my other league for my playoff life. So Atlanta heated it up.
Yeah,
Julio, please, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, or cool it off with Matty Ice, right?
No. Heat it up, baby.
No, ice in his veins or something. I don't know. In a good way.
Ice Big Ben. Come on.
All right. Up next, Casey. Carolina Panthers. They're 4-6, but surging towards the playoff run here. And they are going to Oakland to play one of the hottest teams in the league, the 8-2 Raiders. Raiders at home favored by 3.5.
Yeah. The Raiders might wish this game were on the road because they're 5-0 on the road. Count it 6-0 if you count Mexico City, even though they were the home team. But you're mentioning it, Raiders, dude, on a 4-game winning streak, and they've won 7 out of the last 8. This shouldn't be a trap game because you should have total respect for the NFC champion from last year.
Sure.
But, and that Carolina team, dude, is super desperate right now. Lost one game last year during the regular season. They're down to 6 already, so they need to win badly. And they're not that far off. It might seem like they are, but their last 3 losses have come by a total of 9 points. So it's not been too far out. It's just not been good enough. And unfortunately, dude, I think they are missing Josh Norman, man. I don't know if they wanted to pay him all the bucks, but I'm sure they would have won at least one or more games if that dude was still on the field.
Well, man. Speaking of dudes that are maybe not going to be or not be on the field almost entirely for certain, Keekly, they're really the soul, the heart and soul of that defense.
For sure, dude.
One of the best linebackers unquestionably in the NFL over the last handful of seasons with the concussion last week, and obviously a significant loss for that Carolina defense. All right.
All right, Dave, up next. You got an awesome game. You get a little jumping the gun there, baby.
I'm a little excited.
Let's take our time with this. I know. No, we got an AFC West battle. Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos, man, and the Broncos are 3.5-point favorites in this.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good, you know, amount of respect for the Broncos. They've got that great defense, though. But Kansas City coming off that loss to Tampa Bay, that was a real stunner in Kansas City. At Denver coming off the bye.
I seem to remember you having a couple laughs about that when it was happening. It tickled your funny bone a little bit.
It was a big game for the Buccaneers. They needed that one. But Kansas City, playing good football season, you know, both these teams at 7-3 playing some really good football, but Denver coming off the bye, but previous to that, and it was in week 10 that both the Chiefs and the Broncos really had stunning late victories, but the Broncos coming back that off that big win against, the Saints where they blocked the kick and sort of stole that game away. But, both these two AFC West teams would be in the playoffs, if they started today. That would be the West would send 3 teams. These would be the both of the wild card things, teams. But last time these teams played, it was about a year ago, just over a year ago, the Chiefs really handled business here, getting a win 29-13 where Charkendrick West, Casey, had 161 yards from scrimmage and 2 touchdowns in that game. Really, and that was against that Denver defense that really took him to the Super Bowl. Weston Ware running the football really well. Kelsey, one of the better tight ends in the league. Macklin playing good at wide receiver. And Alex Smith, the ultimate game manager, underappreciated, I think, really. And then on the defensive side, D Ford now leading the league with 10 sacks, and they get Justin Houston back. This is going to be a pretty stout Kansas City team moving towards the playoffs. On the other side, Casey, it's Trevor Siemian. Good news, he's 4-0 at home. Bad news is he hasn't looked all that impressive this whole season, really. And then you think about the fact that they lost C.J. Anderson. You've got Devontae Booker as their starter. In the 3 games he started, Casey, averaging just over 50 yards a game and under 3 yards a carry, he's really struggled. In fact, they put in a waiver claim for Ronnie Hillman today, get him back in the squad. He knows what to do on that offense. Didn't get him, though. He went to the Chargers. So, not a good situation for the offense of the Broncos. On the defensive side, not quite as good as they were last year. Von Miller, of course, is a monster there, and the secondary is brilliant, but this is the 29th ranked rushing defense in the NFL right now. So they're susceptible to being run on. It's going to be an interesting matchup here, though, to see if the Denver Broncos at home can play some stout defense.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are probably getting Talib back in this one. That's bad news for the Chiefs because it's hard to throw on these Broncos, especially downfield. Luckily for the Chiefs, they don't like to throw the ball downfield. So those little 4 and 5 yard dumps are probably going to be fine, but they got to run the ball and play mistake free. This is going to be a good game. I'm stoked to watch this one.
This is going to be a super, super game. Okay, Casey, moving ahead. It's Monday Night Football. It's the Green Bay Packers at 4-6 heading to Philadelphia, a 5-5 squad. Philadelphia at home at a pivotal point in the season here, favored by 3.5 against the Packers. Wow.
Dude, this is a weird game. I don't know who wants to win. The Pack have lost 4 in a row, and they've given up over 30 points in each of those losses, dude. The defense is just not being good. They are decimated by injury in the secondary, though. And on the road, it doesn't get much better, dude. 1-4. And that defense, dude, has given up over 40 points the last couple of weeks. They've been run on and they've been thrown on. It's not looked good, and they just don't have bodies in there, dude. There's just not people to play it. Mm-hmm. And the offense has been hit or miss, too. I think Rodgers is pressing a little bit because he feels like he has to score 40 points every week, dude, the way that defense is playing. Now, the good news is Aaron Rodgers has won his past 2 games on Monday Night Football. And he's got 8 TDs and no interceptions. If he can do something like that, then he's probably going to be okay in this one. Now, the Eagles, bro, they've not been that good lately either. They've lost 3 of 4, and they are clinging to life in a very competitive NFC East. They're in last place at 5-5, bro.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And they're starting to get some injuries, too. Not sure who's going to play running back. Matthews and Sproles both got a little dinged up last week, and Wendell Smallwood was not good against Seattle, but then not many people are. Good news for Philly is they're 4-0 at home, and Carson Wentz has been much better at home, actually undefeated. So on paper, this looks like it's going to be a pretty good game here. But, dude, if Green Bay loses, bro, they're already sitting near the bottom. Dude, they'd be 4-7. That's pretty much a wrap on those guys. Philly can absorb a loss, but they need to get a win if they have any dreams of competing in the East.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. I keep waiting for the Packers to sort of turn it on offensively and really into a rhythm. And as you mentioned, on the defensive side of the ball, they are in shambles in the secondary. And then you look at the Eagles here. Obviously, they had that nice head start at the beginning of the season, but since then have more than leveled off. And this game is a coin flip. I don't know which way to go on this one, but Philly at home favored by 3.5. Man, I'll tell you, they can't run the football, the Eagles. So.
I know neither can Green Bay, man. They hope they get Kristen Michael in this mix at some point, dude. They got it's too one-dimensional, man, both these teams.
No doubt about it. Okay, man, that is going to do it for the Trend Zone. Don't forget, folks, you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, at footballradioshow.com. He's Casey. I'm Dave. This was the Trend Zone. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday feast of family, food, football. We are out of here.